Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You remember a while back when I told you I suffer from fishing FOMO, as in, you know, the fear of missing out on fishing? Even though I don't actually like to fish, I'm just afraid that I'd miss the one chance where I'd actually catch a fish. Yeah, well, it turns out that I've got another type of FOMO, fear of missing out, too. It's philosophy FOMO. Let me explain. I really, really, really want to like philosophy. I want to read it, I want to talk about it, I want to think like a philosopher. But almost every time I sit down and actually read and talk about philosophy, I end up thinking, what in the world are y'all talking about? This doesn't make any dang sense. I don't even like philosophy, but it always brings me back. Maybe that's the point, I don't know, but either way, it's really, really frustrating. Just like fishing, there's always something that hooks me back in. Most recently, about a year and a half ago, a seminary friend named Faith reached out and asked if I had ever read The Stranger by Albert Camus, or if you're fancy in French, Albert Camus. Have any of you ever read The Stranger? Hey, Dave. If not, and maybe Dave will agree with me, you may not be missing too much. It's a short little book. Not much happens in it. You have to think about thinking, all that sort of thing. It's interesting, to say the least, but the story follows a man named Marceau, whose defining characteristic is actually his apathy. Marceau is completely and utterly numb, detached, and cold. The book opens with him saying, quote, "Mother died today, or maybe yesterday. I don't know." This confusion doesn't come from deep grief and sadness, just indifference. After attending his mother's funeral, and with some detours along the way, Marceau soon finds himself trying to enjoy a beach day, but alas, it is hot, very, very hot on the French beach. As he lies on the beach, miserable and fighting off this oppressive heat, he spots a man about 30 feet away. For some reason, Marceau gets up and takes a step toward the man, and the man, as a warning, flashes a knife at him, saying, "Don't get any closer." Unfortunately for Marceau, the sun reflects off the blade of the knife so strongly that it feels like a long lashing blade cutting across his forehead. This becomes too much for our protagonist. So what does he do, entirely unprovoked? He takes out his gun and shoots the man. Marceau is soon arrested, and this begins the second half of the book, where we get a look into his mind. Needless to say, it's pretty bleak up in there. Marceau has a trial, he lives in prison, and he sees his former friends testify against his character, all of which he doesn't really care about. He admits to the murder, and he doesn't express any remorse at all. And finally, once he is convicted and sentenced to death, he says the only thing he wishes for is for a big old crowd to be screaming at him at his decapitation. Now, this is obviously an extreme case of apathy, and I don't think Camus is trying to make Marceau a villain or to diagnose him or to even suggest that we're better than him because we don't act that way. Although with this recent heat wave, I start to understand Marceau a bit more. That's all I'm going to say. But I do think the book hits on something that lives in a lot of us. The temptation to stop caring. Even if that's not the author's main point, I think The Stranger does a good job of showing how easy it is in this modern world to grow cold and feel like life has no real meaning to it. How easy it is to feel like caring is just too hard and not worth it, and thinking that maybe the safest thing to do is shut down, to become apathetic, and to choose to feel nothing at all. Let's face it, when we're bombarded by bad news, by headlines, by injustice, suffering, as well as the struggles of our daily lives, we're left with a choice. And it's not an easy one. Number one, we can open ourselves up to the ups and downs of empathy, compassion, and love. We can choose to feel and to care. Or two, we can choose to shut down, to become apathetic, to protect ourselves, to survive, and to keep from feeling anything at all. And I worry today, church, that we live in a world that rewards shutting down and becoming apathetic. I worry that we live in a world that says you shouldn't care. Don't get too involved. This is not worth caring about. What difference will you make? And I worry that this narrative of apathy, this narrative of shutting down, is getting louder and louder and more convincing. I think modern life, to say the least, is defined by the struggle against not caring. In today's scripture passage, we read the latter part of Paul's letter to the Galatian church. All throughout the letter, Paul has had several goals: to defend his version of the gospel against the false teachings of the missionaries, to teach the Galatians not to consider the law more important than Jesus, and most importantly, to beg the Galatians to please be unified in Christ. Here's something interesting about all of Paul's letters. If he ever says not to do something, it's because people were doing it. And if he ever says not to do something, it's because people weren't doing it. Basically, we can nearly guarantee that the Galatian church was deep in conflict with one another while dealing also with other fears, like teachers spreading a false gospel and concerns about what the violent and unjust Roman Empire would do next. So it's this context that Paul is addressing in his letter. But before we get to what Paul says, I'd like for us to consider how the Galatians may have been feeling amidst all this conflict, strife, and fear of the empire. Let me know if any of these things sound familiar. Odds are Paul was probably writing to a Galatian church that felt burnt out, a Galatian church that was worried about the future, worried about food and money, worried about the world their children and their grandchildren would grow up in. The Galatians had probably considered whether what they were doing made any difference at all. They probably had doubts about whether things could or would get better. They probably ever thought that things were just too bad to get any better, that the evil they saw was too big to solve, and that their little house church didn't stand a chance of making any sort of difference. These concerns only added to the concerns of their difficult daily lives. So I bet many of the Galatians were on the edge of not caring, fighting the urge to become apathetic, wondering if it would just be easier if they chose to shut down and feel nothing at all. As a thought exercise, many pastors and theologians ponder what a fictional letter from Paul to the American church would look like. And you know what? I don't think we find ourselves in too different of a scenario to the Galatians. There are some big differences, of course, but there are also some other concerns that have stood the test of time. Like the Galatian church, the American church is fundamentally a divided church today, from the top down to the bottom, where individual churches are splitting over a false gospel. Like the Galatian church, we have many, many people claiming to speak for God who are actually preaching that false gospel, antithetical to the one Jesus preached while he was on earth. But they're gaining followers by the day, and they're getting louder and louder and louder. Like the Galatians, we're also surrounded by strife and conflict and death, and we have to endure these challenges alongside our difficult daily lives. We feel like we have problems too big to solve. And I know for a fact that all of us at one point or another consider whether it would just be easier to shut down and shut ourselves off because we're tired. We're tired of being concerned. We're tired of having our consciences torn apart, tired of experiencing the effects of evil ourselves, tired of being afraid who we are, whether it's our skin color or who we love or our citizenship status or how we speak or what our bodies can or cannot do. We're tired of waking up to another headline that breaks our hearts. We're tired of politicians playing games with people's lives. We're tired of watching the rich get richer while our neighbors go hungry. We're tired of asking for justice and being told to wait and to be patient. We're tired of trying to do good and wondering if it makes any difference at all. We're tired of pretending like everything's okay. We're tired of holding it all together. We're tired of having to dig deeper and deeper and deeper to try to find that hope we know we should have, but sometimes can't muster up. I've heard it from several of you, church, so I feel pretty safe in saying strongly and loudly, we're tired and unsure about the future, and that feels hard. And that feels hard. So if all this feels hard, listen to me when I say this. That's because it is. That's because it is. It's hard to live in a world that rewards cruelty and punishes compassion. It's hard to keep your heart open when everything in you wants to shut it down. It's hard to keep showing up when you feel like nothing is changing. It's hard, and I'm sorry, it is. I wish I could make things easier. I wish I could tell you honestly that things will be easier if you do this, or you pray that, or if something else. But I can't say these things. You know I can't. But what I can say is this. Yes, all of these things are hard. Yes, life is hard. But these things, church, are not new. You are not the first person to feel like this. And we are not the first church to look around at the state of things and wonder if it's just gotten too bad. That's why Paul writes what he writes. That's why at the end of this very exhausting letter to an exhausted church, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time. If we do not give up." Church, these words aren't some sort of transaction. They're not a divine vending machine where you put in a little goodness and get your blessings out, as great as that would be. They're not a promise of prosperity like the ones the mega pastors try to sell you with stadium lights and empty guarantees. They're not magic. They won't make your life suddenly easier. They won't make the pain you're feeling disappear. They won't fix everything overnight. But these words from Paul, there's something even more powerful than all of that. These words or a lifeline for the weary, a breath for those who feel breathless, a reminder for the ones who are just about to give up, right on the brink of apathy. In these words, Paul says to you today, I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. I know you don't see the fruit yet. But don't stop sowing. Don't stop caring. Don't stop showing up. In these words, Paul reminds us that our struggle against despair and apathy is not for nothing, because even in our exhaustion, even when we feel hopeless and worn thin, the Spirit is still working here and now. And because of this, the forces of darkness will not have the final word. We may feel weak now, but the harvest, church, is still coming. So there is no reason to believe the lie that you have to submit to apathy and shut yourself off from the world. There is no reason to become cold to everyone around you. Because the good news this morning is that the most powerful thing you can do when all of this feels meaningless, the most powerful thing you can do when you're at the end of the rope, when you're burned out, and when you're unsure if everything you could will be okay, the most powerful thing you can do against the powers of despair and darkness is care. Care with everything you've got. Care when it's inconvenient. Care when it's costly. Care when it feels like no one else cares. Care even when no one thanks you for it. Care even when you're doing it scared. Care even when your heart's already broken. Care even when it costs you something. Care for yourself and your body. Care for your family and your neighbors. Care through the work that you do, whether you're raising kids or ringing up groceries or running board meetings. Care through your voting. Care through your giving. Care for your community, your country, in this fragile, fragile world we share. Care about people. Care about justice. Care about truth. Because caring is the only way we can fight the lie that we shouldn't care. The lie that the world isn't worth caring about. The lie that nothing is worth caring about. Village Baptist, we care because caring is exactly how we sow in the Spirit and prepare for the harvest. When we sow in the Spirit through caring, we join in the work of God. And in this work, we may not see a harvest right away, but that doesn't mean it's not coming. And no matter how hard it becomes to keep sowing these seeds in our lives full of despair and doubt, we have to keep planting. No matter how discouraged we feel when we don't see results or things feel like they're getting worse, we have to keep planting. We have to keep planting these seeds of care in the prayers we pray, in the kindness we offer one another, in the grief we bear together, in the celebrations we share together. We have to keep planting these seeds, even if we don't see them sprout, because today Paul says they will grow, and I believe him. Because God is not mocked, the Spirit does not sleep, and care is never, ever wasted. So thank God today, that even in this heavy, heavy life, we are sowing seeds that will one day break into joyful song. Thank God that even in our weariness, we are not doing this alone. Thank God that despair will not be the end of the story, that apathy will not get the final word. Thank God that one day in God's time, the harvest will come. So let us, church, keep loving. Keep hoping, keep caring, and let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. May it be so.